Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Daniel in chapter number 2. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. There's not hardly much to leave out, so I'll probably do more reading than I do preaching, but the Word of God speaks for itself anyhow. It'll help us. And so I want to read this wonderful text of Scripture. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, or to show the king his dream, so they came and stood before the king. The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. My spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show me the dream, the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive the gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. Ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I will know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man in the earth, upon the earth, that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, or ruler that asked such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king requireth. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and thus said thus unto him, I found the man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of iron and park clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone, that image, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof to the king. Thou, O king, art king of kings. For the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone that was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, the interpretation thereof. And the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto them. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is God of gods and Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors of all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. If you know anything about the book of Daniel, you know that Babylon was a very dangerous place. It reminds me of what Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer. He said, Lord, concerning you and I, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. Nebuchadnezzar has gone into Jerusalem, taken Judah into captivity, slaughtered many of them, and took their children, the children of the princes, into Babylon. And here we find Daniel, and specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in this strange place called Babylon. A place with walls 340 foot high. You could ride chariots 3 abreast across the top of it. Babylon. A place with a military unknown previous to this as far as the world was concerned. Babylon. Babylon, a place of science and education and teaching unknown by previous generations. Babylon, a very religious society with a much like Egypt, with a god or an idol that represented every god, a god of the sun, a god of the moon, a god of the stars, a god of just many sorts, hundreds of gods with their ziggurats, those temples of which they would even take their children up and sacrifice them and offer them to the pagan gods to appease their anger and to change the weather. It was a country much unlike the territory and world that Daniel had come out of. We understand from the early beginning that evidently Daniel had some godly influence, some godly parents, some godly teaching. And so certainly all of Babylon is foreign to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, as I say, it is a very dangerous place that they enter into. I mean, if the king can't sleep, nobody sleeps. And if he's upset, he's just liable to cut your head off. It is very dangerous. There's fires there that burn 7 times hotter than anywhere else. And lions that get awful hungry. And of course, these boys encounter that. All that Babylon has to offer, they have to face. And they have already conquered all of the then known world. No one has ever been able to stand or withstand Babylon. But yet, as I read this book, I somehow realize that Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego, Meshach and Abednego did what no other kingdom could do. It seemed as though that they conquered Babylon. But my question is, how in the world did they enter into this environment? How did they enter into this dangerous place and not only survive, but somehow excel and become victorious? And the scripture said on many occasions they were better and they were wiser and so on. How in the world did they achieve such status? Was it because of their mentality? Was it because of their heritage? Was it because of their strength? How did they do that? Well, I really think that if they survive in Babylon, it's going to take more than their mental skills. Because you see, lions don't care how educated you are. They'd just as soon eat a dummy as they would an educated person. Fires will burn no matter what your heritage is. It doesn't care. It takes more than that. If they're going to survive in Babylon, it's going to take more than just their heritage. It's going to take more than just religion. It's going to take more than just their education. How in the world do they survive in Babylon? I want to say to you, the way that they survived in Babylon is they found in Babylon what I have found in this world. Jesus. Now get this. They found, lo and behold, Jesus was already in Babylon. Oh, listen. Our victory is not dependent upon us. Our victory is in Christ. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when they came into Babylon, little did they know. It's much like the war that we just come through in modern day Babylon, Iraq. And they told us that by the time that the troops got up to the city, that the bloodiest battle would begin. And in Baghdad, who would be able to tell how many soldiers would be killed? But little did we know that long before our soldiers got in there, the foot soldiers got in there, they had sent in the special ops troops, about 5,000. And those special ops troops went to the most important places. They went to the oil wells, and they already took care of that before the soldiers got there, the foot soldiers. They found out where the Red Guard was, and they'd radio back and say, well, send your missiles in right here. That's where they're at. So by the time the foot soldiers got there, they said, just come on in. We already got it under control. And I noticed when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the Lord takes them into Babylon, Jesus has already been in there. There's already been a special operation on the inside. God has already been working. And he said, come on in, boys. I've got this thing under control. And I say to you tonight that our success, our victory in this world is dependent upon Jesus. And they found Jesus in Babylon. Can you imagine that? Is it possible that Jesus has been in your world today? Is it possible? Have you seen Jesus lately around your house? Has Jesus shown up on the job where you work? Jesus is in Babylon. Now, I want to tell you something. There can be no substitutes in a place like Babylon. If Jesus doesn't show up, there's no hope for these boys. When they go into that fiery furnace, if Jesus is not down there, there's no hope for them. When Daniel is cast into the den of lions, if the Lord doesn't spare him, there's no hope for him. You see, in the situations of life that we face, there's not a lot that others can do. I mean, if you're in the midst of the fire tonight, don't call me because I'm afraid of fire. I'm not coming into your fire. And if there's a lion around your house, you better call somebody else besides me. I'm not coming to take care of no lions. That's beyond my capability. And for the battles that you and I go through and the things that we face in this old world that we live in, we need nothing short of running into Jesus. He's the only answer in our Babylon. But I'm glad He's there, aren't you? Oh, I'm glad for the times when Jesus has shown up where I needed Him most. But let me just hurriedly point out to you, in this chapter number 2, I want you to notice how Jesus is in the mysteries of Babylon. In the mysteries. Of course, a mystery is something that is hidden or shut up. Mysteries are not so much what is unknown, but it is what is not revealed or what is kept secret. No one has known before chapter number 2 what is contained in this mystery. But for some reason, God chooses to give this mystery to Nebuchadnezzar and to interpret it through Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. And I want to point out how in the midst of the mysteries of Babylon, the things that you don't understand, Jesus shows up. Now, let me hurriedly point it out. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the realization of a mystery. I like to think of it as going to visit someone's home. I went to Brother Ken's today and looked at the house. I like to think of it as going to someone's home to visit, and they let you tour the home. They take you a tour of the home to show you what you think is everything that is there in the home. But little do you know that there could be a secret door, There could be a sliding mirror. There could be a revolving bookcase. There could be a room that you don't know anything about. But just because you don't know the room's there does not mean that the room is not there. And just because the world doesn't understand the mysteries of God do not mean that those mysteries are not there yet to be unfolded and revealed. Someone would say, "Well, how do I know when I've got a mystery?" Well, I want to point that out to you. Nebuchadnezzar is given a mystery by God. Now, first of all, I would say to you, you know you've got a mystery when something is irrational. I mean by that, Nebuchadnezzar sleeps and he has this dream. And he dreams about this image, and this image has four different metallic parts to it. And when he wakes up, he cannot even remember it, but yet it troubles him. It has no reason. It has no rhyme. It makes no sense, but it does make him start asking questions as to what this is that is going on. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for the day when the mystery of salvation became a question to my heart. And I said, "God, what is this thing about salvation all about? What is this thing about your son coming to die? What is this mystery all about? It has no reason. It has no rhyme about it. It's irrational." This is what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. But not only is it this mystery, he realizes, he doesn't know what the mystery is all about, but he realizes that there is a mystery. There is a secret door, and it is something that is irrational to him. But not only that, it is something that becomes irritable to him. It has taken his sleep away from him, and he wakes up grouchy and grumpy and irritable over the situation that has taken place. The Bible said in verse number one of chapter 2, his spirit was troubled. He's upset. His sleep break from him. And he says again in verse 3, my spirit is troubled. And of course, as we've read the account, we can understand that the king is just not himself. Something is God is trying to show him something, and the king gets mad, and things get bad, and the wise men are sad because they're going to lose their heads, and everything is turned upside down because God has gotten in an old sinner's mind, and he can't sleep no more. And it's a blessing when God gets in our minds and gets in our hearts, not only in times of conviction when He saved us, but I'm going to tell you, there are many times when the Lord wants me to do something or He's leading me to do something that I just don't know why, but something gets in me and I can't turn it off. I can't just turn over and go to sleep. I can't just shut it down. I can't forget it. It just eats at me. And then I know that God is trying to say something. It's not that I just ate too many onions the night before or garlic. It's just, God's not going to let me lose it. It won't leave me. You understand what I'm talking about? You ever had those things? Things about your life that God's wanting to do as far as the future is concerned. And he just drops little seeds letting you know that there is a mystery there. He's fixing to do something. And somehow it gets in your mind and you can't turn it loose. I remember when the Lord was calling me into evangelism after pastoring for 22 years. Boy, I'm going to tell you just different things He would say to me and say to me through other people and through His Word. And it came to the point that there'd be certain passages of Scripture I wouldn't even go and preach because I get so bad under conviction when I preach them because they just wouldn't let me sleep. It's bothering me. I knew there was something churning and something working. Oh, isn't the Lord gracious? He didn't have to show Nebuchadnezzar this, and He didn't have to reveal it to Dan. But isn't the Lord gracious in showing Himself to us when He could have left us in total darkness and blindness? He revealed unto us the mystery, and He reveals unto us His will for our lives. Oh, something gets irrational, something gets irritable, and then I notice something gets impossible. He goes to a Benny the Hinn service, and I mean, they got it all laid out there. I mean, they got all the healers. They got all the interpreters. They got all that it takes. But honey, they couldn't deliver the goods. He said, you're a bunch of fakes. I'm paying you for nothing. And some fool's giving Benny the Hen all that money. Paying him for nothing. I want to see somebody walk up there without an arm and come off with an arm. I don't want all that inner stuff that nobody knows what's happening or if he's telling the truth or not. Show me something. Well, I didn't mean to get off on all that, but it is the truth. They said, King, tell us the dream. We'll oh, sure. Anybody can tell the interpretation if you let them know what it is. They can make up a story. But they go on to say, and they say, King, now they're begging because they know he's mad. It's a rare thing that the king requires, and there's none other. They said, King, what we're going to tell you, you're not going to like. We know you're upset. You're never going to know about that dream. It's impossible. Listen, may I say to you, blessed be the day when we come to the conclusion that things are impossible. They're beyond our capability, beyond our reach. Nebuchadnezzar knows there's something there, but he has been told that it's just, there's nothing we can do about it. Humanly speaking, God's working and turning in your life. He's not going to give man the ability, nor give him the answer to it. Oh, it'll be an impossible answer. Or solution to the problem. I'm talking about the realization. He now knows there is a mystery. He knows about these four world empires. But now notice with me, secondly, the recognition that is in this mystery. After he finishes with the Benny the Hen service, he calls on the man of God, or the man of God calls on him. Hears about the situation. Can I say to you tonight, you don't have to know the answer to the mysteries of life. You just need to know the one who knows the answer to the mysteries of life. And Daniel comes to him, and Daniel is honest, and Daniel said, it's not me, and it's not anything in me. I don't have the answer, but he said, I'd like to let you recognize, I'd like to point you to one who has the answer. To the mysteries of life. I don't have the answer to your life. I don't have the answer to my own life. But I do know one who has the answer. Again, I go back to that house visiting someone, and there is a secret room, a secret door, and the kind gentleman of the house said, do you know that right there is a secret door? And now for the first time I know there is a mysterious door, but I don't know what's behind it, but I do know the man who does know what is behind it. I don't know your future, I don't know my future as far as day by day, but I do know the one who holds our future in his hand. He knows all about our tomorrows. And Daniel begins to point him to God. He begins to let him recognize God, that God is the God of secrets. Look in verse number 22. Here's what he talks about as he has prayed and the Lord has shown him. He talks about God said he revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Look in verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Daniel said, hey, King, I just come to let you know that there is one that does know what happened the other night. And he's been talking to me. And I come to tell you what he told me. Now, just to be honest with you, I didn't know nothing before last night, Daniel could say. And the only way I know anything is because I know the one that knows everything. And so I'm coming to tell you, just to report to you what he has said to me. I'm glad that God knows, aren't you? And he points him to God and recognizes God, and he says to him, God knows your times. He knows your tomorrows. He knows your troubles. God knows it all tonight. You see, God gives mysteries so that He might reveal Himself to us, that He might draw us, that He might make us dependent upon Himself, so we might seek Him out, that we might know what these things are all about. The realization of a mystery. The recognition in the mystery. God is the God of secrets. If a man is ever going to know anything about heaven, God's going to have to tell him about it. If a man is ever going to know anything about Jesus, God is going to have to tell him about it. Heaven must speak. The Holy Ghost must come and speak to that heart. We are helpless to do so. He must precede us and go into that heart and manifest Himself to them so they might understand who He is. The realization that there is a mystery, the recognition in the mystery, God. But I want you to look lastly at the revelation of the mystery. You see, again, you don't have to know the answer to a mystery. You just need to know the one who is the answer to the mystery. Oh, listen. What is this mystery all about? I said all this just to get to this one part. What is this mystery all about? I did tell you I was preaching tonight on Jesus is in Babylon, didn't I? He's in the mysteries of Babylon. Now, I'm talking about this mystery here that God is revealing. I want you to notice what the revelation, what this mystery is all about. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go before God and they pray. Well, I want to ask you a question. Is God taking up all this time and robbing the king of his sleep just so he could show him that he is that Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold, the first of the world kingdoms and world empires? I don't think so. I really don't believe that's what this mystery is all about, is so old Neb could know who he was. Do you think that the reason why God gave this mystery to Nebuchadnezzar is so that he can know that after Nebuchadnezzar is gone, that there's going to rise the Medes and the Persians, another world empire of brass that is going to rule the world? Somehow I don't think so. Do you think that the reason why God gave this mystery to Nebuchadnezzar is so that he might know that there were going to be the brass part, the thighs of brass, and that there would arise a third world power, empire and kingdom, and it would be the Greeks that would rule the world? Do you think that's what this mystery is all about? I don't think so. You think maybe that the reason why he gives this mystery to Nebuchadnezzar is so that he might know that there is a fourth empire coming up, the Roman Empire, the legs made of iron, eventually mixed with clay? Do you think that is it? So that he could show him that there was going to be a Caesar come on the scene and conquer the world and be in power during Christ's day? You think that's what this is all about? I don't think so. Said, preacher, what's that all about? I think this whole mystery is not about that first kingdom, nor that second kingdom, nor that third kingdom or fourth kingdom. I think this whole mystery is to bring Nebuchadnezzar face to face with that fifth kingdom. The stone that's cut out of the mountains without hands, that Daniel talks about in chapter number 4 when he talks about the King of Kings, the Messiah, coming to reign on this earth. His purpose in giving this revelation is to let Nebuchadnezzar know and Daniel know and you and I know that there's more to this world than just 1, 2, 3, 4 kingdoms. But thank God this thing's going to move beyond here. And it's coming to a fifth and a final and an eternal kingdom. And guess who's going to be on the throne of that kingdom? This whole mystery is about Jesus. Every bit of it. But you see, the key to understanding the mysteries of God is Jesus. Always it is Jesus. Jesus is the key that unlocks the door to the mystery. And Christ is the door to the mystery. And Christ is the secret behind the door to a mystery. It's all about Jesus. Can you imagine? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in prayer over this mystery. And I don't know how God gave it to them. He may have just dumped it on them all at one time. Or He may have given it to them independently, separately. If He did so, can you imagine old Abednego, he's a praying along there, and all of a sudden he sees that head of gold, and he turns, he said, "Boys, I know what that first part's all about. It's about that head of gold. That's never, I've just seen that." Boy, that'd be a lot to see, wouldn't it? I mean, to understand that'd be a great feat. And they pray on a little more, and old Shadrach, I can see him come up and go, and he said, "Oh, I tell you, I see it now. I see that second, that brass that is in there. I see that as that second kingdom." Boy, that'd be pretty good to be able to look several hundred years down the road and be able to understand what's going to happen, wouldn't it? Old Meshach gets up and he said, "I got one better on you, boys. I'm going to tell you, I saw that third kingdom. I saw that Grecian kingdom. I saw that." They go through those four kingdoms, and then finally, I like to think that all four of them seen it at the same time. Boy, it just lit up to them. And I can see them, they stand up and say, "Did you see what I see? Did you see what I saw? If I'm not mistaken, I believe I saw Jesus run right through the middle of all of those kingdoms. In the midst of that mystery." And they learn that this mystery that Nebuchadnezzar has is simply boiled down into the fact that God's trying to show him Jesus. Because He is the final kingdom. And somebody said, "Well, what's that mess all about up there at the palace where the king's all upset?" And Daniel said, "That's just about Jesus. That's all that is about Jesus. Blessed day when the Lord uses His Spirit to work in us the truth and the revelation of who Jesus is in this world. Because He is the answer to all the mysteries and the situations that we know anything about." You'll never know and understand. History will just be history without Jesus. And how sad history is. Prophecy will never mean anything to you until you see Jesus in it. Humanity is nothing more than flesh until Jesus shows up in it. Until you see Christ. Ah, that dream. That mystery. Those four, you know, that's just one jumbled up mess. It kind of makes you stand back and say, "Well, so what?" I mean, four world empires, they're all the same. They're all just beasts. Killing one another, just a little different places. It's all the same. The world, it makes no difference. Unless you can see Jesus. That's the difference. And I want to say to you, friend, tonight, if you get to looking at this world on the human level, you get to reading the newspaper, you get to listening to the television, and you get to hearing what's happening all around us, it's just one gigantic, confusing mess. Unless somewhere along the line you can run into Jesus and He becomes the answer for your life and for the situations of your life. And then the mysteries are all cleared up because He is the answer to our mysteries. Jesus is in Babylon. I'm glad He is. Those boys that have never made it. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad Jesus is in this world for me and for you. Even in our mystery.